All right. Hello, everyone, and a very happy Sunday morning. It is good to see you. I will begin by playing Awakening by Deborah Pramal and Mitten so that you all can greet one another on our chat board.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
It took me forever to find my chat board and share screen. How are y'all doing with that? Could you see my chat board or could you only see the video? I'm curious because it was right on top of the video for me once I did find it. I guess you guys were okay with the video. That's what you saw. Shake your heads if you only saw the video. Yes. Okay, cool. Oh yeah, I see a couple of people typed in video only. Great, great, great. Okay, well, again, welcome to our Sunday morning service. I want to say hello to David Hempel, who is here today, Reverend David Hempel. He's an Awakening Together minister. He'll be my reader today, but I don't remember seeing him in Zoom with us before, so I want to say welcome to him. I'd also like to take a moment, if you all don't mind, to say goodbye to a friend. A friend of mine passed away this past Friday. She was riding her bike in Boston. She was actually hit by a cement truck, and I'm told that she died instantly. A few of you may know her. She used to come to our retreats in the East Coast, the Be the Love retreats, the retreats, the Miracles retreats in New Hampshire. She's also the one who introduced me to Bentinho Massaro. And she's one of two people who asked me to check out Jan Fraser. So let me share my friend Paula with you just for a moment. There she is. That's Paula. Just to share a couple pictures of her. Just take a moment to remember her in silence. Thank you. Also, Carrie is in the hospital today, Reverend Carrie Christensen. She came to Colorado planning to attend our natural meditation retreat that starts tomorrow. Some of you may know that she has lung and heart problems, and she's in the hospital. But as far as I can tell, she's okay because she liked my post about Paula. So if she's well enough to be on Facebook, she's probably doing okay. But she won't be coming to the retreat. The doctor has forbade her, is that the right word, forbid her, to go to a higher elevation. She's in Colorado Springs right now, but La Vida is higher than that, so she will not be coming to the retreat. But I just want to take a moment to say, Carrie, we love you as well. Let me share our statement of purpose. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being. This is actually our third core value. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Before we move into the devotional part of our weekly gathering, let me share some announcements. Let's see. All right, there we go. Hopefully this little screen will work the way I have it set up. I want to show you a couple of retreats that we have coming up. One of our retreats is the Freedom from the Ego retreat. You'll notice this is coming up pretty soon, March 11 to 15. And of course, it will be at the Awakening Together retreat house. That's a picture of the La Vida area. I'm sure Lisa Hester recognizes this picture. One of the things that's most important about this particular retreat, we've had two meditation retreats, the self-inquiry retreat and the natural meditation retreat that is coming up this week. This retreat is different. This retreat helps us to see the ego in our own mind, to bring it out of darkness, which is lack of awareness. And what's really important about this retreat is that for as long as the ego can remain hidden, we're literally slaves to it. I know that doesn't sound very nice, but that's just the way it is. The only way to become free of the ego is to see it. I remember once upon a time I passed out a single quiet thought here at the house in Pueblo when I used to have guests here. And the single quiet thought that day was a prayer, asking to see, you know, what I haven't seen within myself. And literally the people here cringed. I could tell they didn't want to go there. but it's really important that we go there. Because like I said, if we don't go there, if we don't look and see what we are not currently seeing, then we're blindly believing it. So the purpose of this retreat is to help you to become more skilled at seeing what you don't currently see. And again, that retreat is coming up soon, March 11 to 15. So if you are interested in registering for that retreat, please do so soon. Also, another retreat I want to introduce to you today. This is the only retreat that I'm doing that's not at the retreat house this year. It's a retreat in Oregon, July 12 to 14 at Lewis and Clark College. I did a retreat there last year. Many of you went there. This is where I met Shauna in person last year. And the retreat that I'm going to be doing this year is Awakening at Home, which is a retreat that I did at our fall retreat a couple of years ago. Awakening at Home is a retreat where I help you become more skilled at those important skills that help us to awaken, such as meditation, contemplation, inquiry, journaling, and again, those mind-watching skills. This particular retreat will be a lot more practice and a whole lot less talk. And you'll notice that they're offering a couple of different retreat packages. One, which includes a private bedroom and a shared suite and all meals. And the other one is retreat only, which also means no meals. So if you're interested in this retreat, please just go to our website. Also, many of you are familiar with our Awakening Together forum now. You've been using the forum for a while. I'm going to share my screen again, this time without sharing a portion. I want to share the entire screen. For those of you who are not familiar with the forum, you can find it on our website underneath to read AT Discussion Forum. But some of you have been using it for different purposes, especially Gentle Healing 3. And now that you're using the forum, we're ready to offer a second training so that you can become a little more adept at using the forum. But if you haven't used the forum yet and you're interested in using it, you can also come to this particular training. It's going to be offered by our forum administrator, Aggie Michkowski. It will be this coming Wednesday night, February 20th, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 5:30 p.m. Pacific, and it's a full one-hour training. So again, mark your calendars if you would like to become a little more adept at using the AT Discussion Forum this Wednesday night, February 20th, 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern, which is 5:60 Pacific. Also, I'm going to show you a movie trailer now. This movie trailer is Joe versus the Volcano, which is our movie of the month, which we will be discussing next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So let's watch the trailer. Well, I need to make sure I shared my computer screen. I don't think I did, so I need to stop my... I shared the screen, but I don't think I shared the sound that time. Nope. So let's do this again. Here we go.
Once upon a time, in the middle of a deep, dark factory, an average Joe
Banks,
lived a very boring life.
Good morning, Dee Dee.
Hi, Joe. What's with the shoe?
Losing my soul.
Yeah.
Until one day, he found out his life was over.
I'm not sick except for this terminal disease.
That's right. You have some time left, Mr. Banks. Live it well.
And that's...
Joe Banks?
When his adventure began.
You and I might be able to help each other. I want to hire you to jump into a volcano. A total red carpet situation. It's wine, women, and song in the sweetest little paradise you ever saw.
A real journey.
Are you Joe Banks?
Yeah.
Give us a message!
Warner Brothers presents Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan,
Joe Banks,
in the story of a man, a mountain, and a miracle.
Take me to the volcano!
Written and directed by John Patrick Shanley, the Academy Award-winning writer of Moonstruck.
I love you.
I love you, too. I've never been in love with anybody before, either. It's great. I am glad. But the timing stinks. I gotta go.
Joe versus the Volcano.
So, again, that's our movie of the month this month. If you haven't watched it yet, you still have time to watch it before next Sunday night. And there is a play sheet available. Sharing the screen again. Just to help you all see where this play sheet is, you just go to Awakening Together. I'm going to go to our main website. underneath to read, AT News. If you scroll down, you'll find where it says, not too late to watch this month's movie, Joe versus the Volcano. And when you click on that particular news announcement, you will find Joe versus the Volcano play sheet. So you can click on that and pay attention to those questions as you watch the movie. It will help prepare you for a movie discussion group. So that concludes our announcements. And now I am going to share a song which will move us into the devotional part of our service. This song is called This Could Change Everything. And when I listen to the song, what I hear is the decision to fully commit myself to awareness watching awareness. If for you, it could be surrender or some other aspect of the spiritual path, letting go of listening to ego, anything. But the name of the song is This Could Change Everything, and it's by Francesca Battistelli.
There's a fire inside, you can feel it burning. It's a neon light glowing like a furnace. And the night is long, but the world keeps turning. You gotta know it, it's not the end. Every new sunrise is one step closer. It's a sign in the sky that the fight's not over.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into prayer. As we begin this weekly gathering today, let us each listen with the heart. The heart that knows our individual next step with God. The heart that knows our desire to commit to that next step. And the heart that knows how to individually lead us into that next step. This is all about our journey, my journey. Amen. All right. So what I'm very happy to do now is to pass the mic over to David Hemphill, and he is going to read tip 323 from year 2 of Gentle Healing.
You should be able to see it. Tips from Regina, day 323, the only choice is where. In NTI Romans 2, we learned that a curiosity arose. What if nothing was as it is? What if I could make something completely different? When this original idea was infused with believing attention, two options arose. The first option was a reminder of truth, the reminder that reality is reality and it cannot change. The second option was the belief that something different had been made. What if nothing was as it is the first sense of I. It was the sense of an I that can cause an effect. Out of that idea, two thoughts arose. One was a correction to the original thought. It pointed directly to truth. The other option was more thought, which led into a dream. Today's reading opens by saying, the truth is that all thoughts arise out of the sense of I or because of the sense of I as a correction to this thought. Without the original error of an I presence that can cause an effect, thought would not be. That includes right-minded thought, because right-minded thought is a correction to error thought. If we consider that our sense of self, our sense of others, our values, our ethics, and our world are all thought, we may realize that we do not know who we are or what anything is without thought. Thought is our form of understanding. It is our form of knowing. And yet, if thought blocks reality, our form of knowing is entirely wrong. It is ignorance masquerading as knowledge. Thought is story. It is an ongoing storyline that creates fantasy. When the story comes into our mind as thought and we believe it, we believe a story, a falsehood. Some things may be true in the storyline, but true is a made-up fantasy, is not truth. When we search the story for what's true in the story, we are simply engaging untruth more. The story is in motion, and the storyline does come.
Okay, David, for some reason your sound went away. Can you hear me? No, I think he's frozen. I think we have a frozen David. So let me, he said the power surge that is complex. Okay, so let me go ahead and finish reading, and then we'll see. I don't know, Don, if you're able to stop sharing his screen. Yes, you are. Okay, good. Thank you. So I'm going to start back where he was. Let me just tell him I got it, so he's not sitting there being concerned about this. Hold on 1 minute. Okay, I will finish reading. All right. So I'm going to go back just a little bit. Thought is story. It is an ongoing storyline that creates fantasy. When the story comes into our mind as thought and we believe it, we believe a story, a falsehood. Some things may be true in the storyline, but true in a made-up fantasy is not truth. When we search the story for what's true in the story, we are simply engaging in untruth more. The story is in motion, and the storyline does come into your mind as thought. However, you are not the story character. You are life awareness. You can abide as life awareness and see the entire story as nothing but story. You have the ability to be the detached observer, regardless of what occurs in the story. Detached observation leads to freedom from the story. The body-mind will continue to play its part in the story, even when you pull attention out of the story and abide fully in the heart. Nothing that is to be done by the body-mind will go undone. As Ramana Maharshi said, a yogi who is in this state is inactive, even while engaged in activity. The script continues, and the body acts according to its vibrational level in the script. But you live beyond the script and have no part in it. For one who is not completely detached from the script, the best way to be in the world but not of the world is to abide in a constant state of devotion. Devotion is living from within instead of from thought. When you live from within, you return attention within. Through devotion, attention learns to stay at home in the heart. It learns to abide there until a natural transition occurs and it no longer goes out. It stays in. Devotion is retraining attention to stay in. So that's the reading, and I want to thank David for showing up. Of course, the surge at his place, it has nothing to do with his commitment to come and read for us today. So, obviously, what trips up a spiritual student the most and gets in the way of their achievement of self-realization, awakening to the absolute, is interest in the world, including interest in me, right? Me, thought, not me, Regina. You know, I just showed you pictures of my beloved friend Paula. And Paula was a spiritual student, just like the rest of us. It was a big, big part of her life. And in fact, you know, I have a lot of stories about Paula. One of them is I was meditating with her at her house, at that time trying to get to stillness, right? That was my attitude, trying to get to stillness. When all of a sudden in that meditation, I realized I am stillness. You know, it was a major shift for me, and it occurred right there in her living room, meditating with her. But one thing my friend Paula did throughout her entire life was try to change the world. I'm sure you saw the protest pictures. You probably even saw her being joyously arrested. You know, for a protest. And I also noticed other spiritual friends from time to time, you know, making political posts on Facebook. And, you know, and that comes from our desire for something better, our desire for what we think is good, for what we think is right, for what we think will serve everyone the best. But I will tell you that my mom and my boyfriend have a completely different idea of what will serve everyone best than the ideas that I would have. In other words, my ideas about what's best for the world are a point of view, and nothing but a point of view. And I'm reminded of Robert Adams. There's a wonderful quote by Robert Adams that says, any point of view is a wrong point of view. Any point of view. Every single one of our opinions about politics, our opinions about what helps the environment, what's good for the world, what's good for the people in our family, every single one of those things, we could, if we were in a room, I'd maybe create a flip chart and say, come on, what are all the different things that we think would make the world better, or our life better, or someone else's life better? You know, everything we'd put on that flip chart is wrong. Oh my God. Think about that. You know, what this tip says is that our sense of self, who I think I am, our sense of others, who I think you are, each and every one of you that I've met, who I think you are, our values, what I think's best, our ethics, what I think is necessary, and our world, what I think about the world, what I think the world is, the direction I think it's going in, the direction I should think it's going in. Every bit of that is thought. And thought, every bit of it, is fantasy, a dream, a play. And the reason I bring this up is because I really feel that everyone who's attracted to Awakening Together is attracted to Awakening Together for one reason. I think that, you know, we're all attracted to Awakening Together because there is something in us. You know, I think in the Francesca Battistelli song, she called it like a flame. You know, there is something in us that wants to awaken to truth, that wants to awaken to reality, whatever that is. And yet, at the same time, we continue to get in our own way by being interested in the world, in thought, in how things should be. You know, there's another quote by Nisargadatta Maharaj that I can't quote exactly, but the gist of it is that we need to quit undoing the progress we gain in our meditation. You know, like, you know, we sit down in our meditation, or it could be in our surrender or in our journaling. Welcome back, David. We sat down in our meditation or in our journaling or our surrender, our contemplation, and we make progress. And let's just pick a number. Let's say for 2 hours a day, we make genuine progress. And then we step out into the world. And for the remaining 14 hours of the day, we undo that progress. I mean, a step forward, a step back. A step forward, a step back. This is what Nisargadatta says that we do. And he says, basically, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. Another thing that the tip said was that all of these thoughts that come into our mind, which give us our individual point of view, which we all so heavily seem to believe in, right? That's like a script, a character script. If you really look at that thought for a moment, that teaching for a moment, that every thought that comes into your mind that tells you what's right and wrong, what should be and shouldn't be, who you are and who you aren't, who the people around you are, what the world is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is a character script. Then if you really look at that, you'll realize that when you're believing those things and acting from those things, you are being a character. You're being a puppet. I can hear Eckhart Tolle saying, you're being unconscious. I'll put those two together and say, you're being an unconscious puppet. And you think you're being you. And you're not being you. That's what the spiritual path is all about. It's finding who you are. You know, Jesus said that in order to inherit the kingdom of God, you had to become like a little child. And as I contemplate that, to me, the little child is actually a newly birthed infant. Think about all the things the little newly birthed infant isn't yet conditioned into. There's no ideas about who I am, what I am. There's no ideas about who or what even the things are that my eyes land on. I don't even yet know a person from a clock. Right? There's no ideas about anything my eyes land on. There's not even an idea of separation. And, you know, separation is an idea. If you don't mind, I'll just prove it to you right now so we can get past this idea. Look around the room that you're in. For instance, I'm looking at a lampshade. Now, my mind tells me that here's where the lampshade ends and here's where the space begins. Or behind it, where it's near the wall, there's where the lampshade ends and there's where the wall begins. And behind it, here's where the lampshade ends and there's where the bookshelf ends. But just look for a moment with infant pure awareness. And notice that you're looking at one picture. I'll use the word picture. Notice that the lampshade moves right into the space and right into the wall and right into the bookshelf or whatever you're looking at. It's one picture without the thought of separation. You're looking at one picture, one image that the eyes see. Can you find that? If you don't have the thought lamp, space, wall, bookshelf, that's how the infant sees. The infant has to learn that this part of the picture is called a lampshade, and this part of the picture is called space, and this part of the picture is called a wall, and this part of the picture is called a bookshelf. But you know what that is? That's learned. That's conditioning. I remember when we had Bentinho Massaro here for the first interview. This was a few years ago. And Bentinho Massaro was talking about conditioning, learned conditioning. And he told a story. He said, and I've thought of this story when my friend Paula died. He said, you know, we live on a planet where we're taught that death is bad. You know, death is sad. And so when people die, I mean, if you go look at Facebook, you'll notice many people are writing, I'm sorry for your loss, where I made a tribute to Paula. I'm sorry for your loss. And of course they're writing, I'm sorry for your loss. That's what they were taught that death means. But Bentinho said, if we were on a planet where you lived your whole life for a grand death, you know, and like the people who died in their sleep peacefully, everybody's like, oh, well, that's too bad. That was just kind of boring. But the people who are in this major car crash, everybody's like, whoa, they knew how to, you know, it was like if you were taught from birth that the more dramatic the death, the better. He says you would celebrate these dramatic, violent deaths. You know, I thought of that when my friend Paula was hit by a cement truck on Friday. I thought, wow, there's one of those dramatic deaths that Bentinho is talking about. And do you know the only difference, literally, between seeing that as a tragic event and an amazing way to go out is conditioning, is what we've learned, is what we've been taught. If you really, really go deeply into this, you're going to find out you really don't know a thing. You've only been brainwashed. You know, if we look at these Arab countries that have these very strict rules, especially around women, you know, and if a woman has sex with a man she's not married to, she can be killed for that. And you know how deeply that's believed? Her own father or her own brother will kill her. That's not because they're cruel. We maybe want to think that, but that's not because they're cruel. It's because they're brainwashed, just like we are. Do you hear that? We are. Everybody thinks that their form of brainwashing is the best. Mine's the right brainwashing, your brainwashing's wrong. But Robert Adams says all points of view are wrong. All points of view are wrong. All brainwashing is wrong. Do you know why all brainwashing is wrong? Well, the tip told us, because it covers up truth. It makes us think we're the characters. And it makes us think everybody else around us is who we think they are. And that the world is what we think it is. And that it should be what we think it should be. And none of it's true. And this is why the really sincere spiritual student will take pause and begin to notice my political points of view do not mean a thing. In fact, for those of you in Gentle Healing 1, they really only have the meaning that I've given them. My ideas about how you should lead your life do not mean a thing. My ideas about how my day should go today do not mean a thing. My ideas about whether people should live or die do not mean a thing. So again, this is what the sincere spiritual aspirant really needs to consider. Is my thoughts do not mean anything. Seriously, that's not just a line in a workbook lesson in A Course in Miracles that we do for a day. That's something we have to accept, or we continue to fool ourselves about who we are. And we can't fool ourselves about who we are and wake up to who we are too. It's one or the other. You play the game, or you stop playing the game. Now, the interesting thing about conditioning, and you all know this, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know, is that, you know, when something is believed for a long time, it wears a pathway in the brain, right? So let's say, for example, that I'm really big on pick a topic, no guns, okay? Pick a topic, no guns. Guns are bad. You know, I got proof. Another guy killed 5 more people in Illinois this week. I have proof that guns are bad. Now, of course, you know, there are just as many people that believe the opposite, right? Right? We're talking about a point of view here. I'm pretending here, but I got to pick something. So let's pretend that I believe guns are bad. Guns should be outlawed. And I feel strongly about this. That is something that somewhere along the way I picked up, I believed, and then every time I watch these news stories about people shooting people at schools and post offices and restaurants and workplaces and in parks, you know, every time I gave my attention to that again, and that groove is well worn in my brain, which means I really can't just decide today that I'm going to forget about that. Like, I hear Regina, she's right. I need to quit believing these thoughts and be done. Do you know why? Of course you know why. Because that well-worn groove is like a water slide now. My eyes are going to land on next week's mass shooting. And my emotions and my thoughts are going to fly so quick, I don't have a chance to stop them. So what do you do about that? That's what rest, accept, and trust is all about. You see, what rest, accept, and trust actually does is gives those grooves a chance to dry up. They will literally dry up and disappear. The brain is malleable until the day you die. Change is always possible. But you have to want to let these opinions, these points of view, to die. So what happens is when you're watching the news, or I'll say me, because I'm using me as the pretend example here. When I'm watching the news and next week's mass shooting happens, and I find all of these emotions just flying, I close my eyes and I be. I be as they fly. I breathe and I be, and I do nothing else. And the week after that, when there's another mass shooting, I do the same thing. And the week after that, when I'm at a dinner party and somebody shows up with their NRA t-shirt, I may keep my eyes open because I'm at a dinner party, but I do the same thing. What I don't want to do is say, how can you wear an NRA t-shirt? Because when I give into that again, I'm right back to increasing that groove, increasing that in my brain, holding on to that conditioning. It's really important when we see our points of view showing up, especially in a strong emotional way, that we don't act on them, that we don't be the character. And in fact, if you pay really close attention to what you're doing in rest, accept, and trust, you're being yourself. Aren't you just pure awareness, pure life awareness? And if you just close your eyes and let that heartbeat, let those emotions run, let those thoughts go, but you do nothing but focus on being, aren't you just abiding as yourself? You know, sometimes people think that isn't abiding as themselves because they think, keyword think, hear the word think. We all know that thinking is wrong. Okay? It's mistaken. It's a false belief. They think that being their self is supposed to be peaceful. And when all that conditioning is gone, I'm sure it will be. But until that conditioning is gone and that brain is back like a newborn infant, a lot of times when you're being yourself, it's not going to be peaceful at all. But your choice is be the character or be yourself. And being yourself is watching without acting. Characters act. Right? You've all seen movies, plays, TV shows. You know that characters act. Awareness watches. Another thing that's interesting about today's reading is it says that all thought arises out of the sense of I, including right-minded thoughts. Right-minded thoughts are a helpful tool. They point the way. You know, the words that are coming out of this mouth right now, these are right-minded thoughts. And we can all feel the direction they're pointing in. But they're not the truth either. They point the way to truth. Our job is to follow them, to go where they say to go, which is why, for those of you who are in Gentle Healing Year 3 right now, you are studying how all of this book knowledge is not it, right? Well, that's why, because book knowledge is nothing but thought. It's not reality. In fact, there was a great quote, I think it was today, but unfortunately my seven steps is upstairs. But let me just see if I can get to it. I'll let you guys watch me play around. See if we can get to it. We got time. So if I go to my seven steps journal, it was 36, I think. Quote 36 was the last quote. So I'll start looking around there. Step one. 36, that might have been the one. Let's see. No, this is good. Spiritual text can be helpful as it points the way, but one must practice investigation. Oh, that's me. Maybe the quote is right. Let's look at the quote. Yeah, this is the quote I was looking for. Holding in their hands the mirror, the scripture which declares the self alone is to be known. Many, alas, study with care the text and commentaries. Only few seek the self and gain true life. Let's look at that again. Holding in their hands the mirror. So the right-minded thoughts, you know, he's saying are like a mirror. They're pointing the way. Holding in their hands the mirror, the scripture which declares the self alone is to be known. It's telling you the self alone, keyword alone, the self alone is to be known. Many, alas, study with care the text and commentaries. And then look at this last part. Only few seek the self and gain true life. Only few seek the self and gain true life. Again, we've all heard Michael Langford's statement, and Elie Ruzdar says it in a similar way, that only one in a million people awaken. I think Elie Ruzdar says something like 97% do not, only 3% do. And she says with that, she's being generous. And sometimes people get a little disheartened, like, well, why should I even try then? Well, this is why only a few awaken. Because only a few pay attention to the self alone is to be known. Everybody else is paying attention to the right-minded thoughts. We have to go beyond the thoughts. We have to go in the direction the thoughts point. We have to sit down and close our eyes and seek the self alone. With that said, I want to play a song. And in the tip, I played this song. When I posted tip 323, I played this song and I asked you to listen to it very carefully. I'll do that again. Of course, if you would like to make a donation also, in addition to listening to the song, Don will provide that link for you. This is Ramana's song by Kirtana. Listen carefully to the words.
Seek the path that leads away deeper into the woods when home is your aim. Why do you pitch your tent on foreign land? Turn toward the south, go back the way you came. Enter with love the temple of your heart. Heart is the holy sanctum where I reside. Offer to me the ruby of your mind. That is the sweetest offering, a mind that has died. Everything that is only self. acting on your pound. Give up for good, tomorrow just falls. Immerse yourself and dwell in the heart instead. And in the presence of that, raise your head. Be still and know that I am. I am that I am. Be still and know that I am.
Today's reading ended by saying devotion is retraining attention to stay in, right? And if we remember nothing else from today, just that line is enough. Devotion is retraining attention to stay in. You know, and in that song, there was a line about, and in the presence of that holiness, do not even raise your head, right? Not because of gun control or environment or anything else, right? In the presence of that holiness, do not even raise your head. So what we have time now for is for y'all to share based on today's homily, which I think is a funny word. So is there someone who would like to say something? If so, please put up your hand. Lisa, do you want to say something? I see you looking at the screen like you're trying to figure out how to put up your hand. Go ahead and just unmute yourself and take it away.
Am I good?
Yes, you're good.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you so much. I've yet to go through a full Zoom training, but I've been using it a lot the last couple of weeks, primarily to be talking to some folks across the country folks that are involved with Kundalini, folks that are involved with consciousness. I appreciate all those pictures of Ramana. They had me smiling. Of course, you know, Ramana is my buddy, right? And I just wish to say that I agree. All those practices, all the hundreds of volumes, thousands and thousands of volumes of texts, right, that point to truth, right? We've talked about this many times, right? We all know that it's not the teacher, and it's not even in the teachings, right? But the focused concentration, the inward focused concentration on what I call life itself. We can call it whatever we wish, right? But it is the life force energy that exists within us, right? That concentrated focus on that gorgeous life force energy will empower it to rise up within you and change much in the way, if you talked about the groove in the brain, right, to heal that groove. Did you call it a groove? In the brain, right? You know, the folks in the consciousness world talk about the what do they call them, the firing, the synapses, whatever that is, whatever that terminology is. I'm still trying to get used to it, right? That actually then reforms that malleable part of the brain, right? So then we never go there in terms of anger. We don't feel anger or emotion when dealing with, when seeing people being shot or killed in any sort of mass shootings or anything like that. And I can attest to that. I can watch the news now. Not that I'm even inclined to do so, right? But it is very much a there is no emotion when I see that stuff. It's that inward focus. The life force has risen within and has virtually not just healed that part of our consciousness, right, but has really enlightened it, you know, to go beyond that part of ourself, right, for which we would typically react in some sort of fashion like what you're talking about. So this is a great sermon, Regina. I really appreciate it. I'll let go of the mic, or you'll have to let go of it for me, right? But I just wanted to say that inward focus, right? You're focusing, giving life itself that dedicated focus, that dedicated awareness, right, for it to rise up within you. It's awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lisa. Is there someone else who would like to share? I'll tell you a funny story at our, oops, wait, never mind, I won't. George has his hand up. George, take the mic.
Thanks, Regina. Yeah, it really occurred to me, we're talking about death, but since we have chosen to be in this illusion, we have also chosen death for that entity that we believe ourselves to be. And it doesn't matter whether we die in our sleep or we die with a cement truck smashing us into the ground. We've all chosen that. And so we have the choice of choosing to die before we die, so that it doesn't come as a surprise to us in that moment. Drop of the mic.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for saying cement. I concentrated on saying cement because I didn't want to sound like a hillbilly, but I say cement too. It was a cement truck, just like the cement pond in Beverly Hillbillies, remember? So let me just tell you a quick funny story. At the last retreat, the self-inquiry retreat, you know, I have this necklace of Ramana Maharshi that I wear often, and I was wearing it at that retreat. And I got dressed that morning at the condo and was going over to the retreat house for the retreat. And I couldn't find my necklace. I thought, what in the world? I was talking to my mom while I was getting dressed. So, you know, I was a little distracted. And I thought, where in the world did I put my necklace? You know, I looked in the living room where I was talking to her. I looked in the bathroom. I looked in my bedroom. I looked in the kitchen. I couldn't find it anywhere. And I said, Mom, do you see my necklace? I can't find it anywhere. She says, why don't you look under the bed? And so I looked under the bed, and when I bent over to look under the bed, the necklace fell from underneath my sweater, and it was around my neck the whole time. the whole time. And it really reminded me of this line in this song, which is also a Ramana Maharshi quote, that looking for the self is like looking for the necklace that never left your neck. I wasn't going to find it looking in the bathroom, looking in the living room, looking in the kitchen, looking in the bedroom. I had to look, literally, in this case, towards my heart. That's where it was, right? So what I'm going to do now is play our closing song. But before I do that, I do want to tell you all that tonight we have a satsang right here in Zoom. Jacqueline is going to interview John Mark Stroud. That's at 7:30 Eastern time, which is 5:30 Mountain and 4:30 Pacific. And I want to leave you Central guys out, so 6:30 Central, right? 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, 5:30 Mountain, 4:30 Pacific. And I think it's possible that Jacqueline will be at the retreat house then, because we're expecting snow later tonight. And so she may be interviewing him from the retreat house. So make sure you come tonight for our 90-minute satsang with John Mark Stroud. Yeah, she will be at the retreat house. I see thumbs up on that. So live from the retreat house. Oh, did Dove want to say something? I see. Well, tell you what, why don't we let Dove speak after I play the song? Because we have a commitment to finish on time, and then he can speak during the fellowship program. So let me go ahead and share this song. This is a song by Jason Gray, I believe is his name. We'll find out when I get there. It's called The End of Me. Yep, Jason Gray, The End of Me. Here we go.
Is just the end. Don't be afraid. This is where it begins. Oh, 'cause everything here had to fall apart. But in the ruins of a broken heart, I found peace like a river to attend my soul.
Me. Here at
All right, so that's it for me. This is the end of me, and I'll see you tonight for the John Mark Stroud Satsang, and I'm turning it over to Don and then Jay. Thank you, everyone.